Hi everyone, my name's Steve Tudor and welcome to the Premier League show that is doubling up this week as an FA Cup show too. Who says we don't spoil you? And it gets even better because today's guests are right off the top shelf. The potting equivalents, if you like, of Philip Walter Foden on the half turn. It's George and Ben. Hi George, you there? You well?
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on.
You're looking forward to this one. How are you getting on?
I'm all right, apart from that frog in the throat during the intro. I don't know what the hell happened there. But yeah, I mean, that's rule one, isn't it? Always clear your throat before speaking on the pod. But, so apologies, listeners. But no, I'm very well. I'm looking forward to the weekend and I'm looking forward to FA Cup action. Are you, before we get to you, Ben, George, are you a nostalgist? Do you believe in the magic of the Cup?
I do to a certain degree, yeah. Especially at this stage, it gets really exciting and it's an interesting draw across, you know, the eight teams left. I think there's some, you know, big ties already. Mm. Potential for some more in the next few rounds. Potential for a couple of upsets as well. So, yeah, I think it's quite a. I also like it when there's a mix of the cup and the league and stuff. It really makes you feel like you're at the business end of the season. Kind of all systems go.
Absolutely, and there's some real big games in the Premier League this weekend as well. All, you know, focusing on the bottom of the league, but huge games, which we'll come to shortly. Before we do so, Ben, are you there? You well?
Yeah, I'm all good, Steve. Made it to another Friday. it's good to see opposition fans and certain members of the media still getting riled up by our 115 charges. So, yes, it's been a good week.
Yeah, you think they blew themselves out by now, but you've got to give them credit. I mean, they've got stamina. At least we can say that about them. They do have stamina. Yeah, that was kind of just a shit show, wasn't it? That whole kind of overlap. I tried to watch it. I couldn't watch it all, but I did watch the pertinent bits, and they just don't know what they're talking about. And I love the fact that Steve, the City fan, just basically summed it all up. I don't know anything. You don't know anything. And it's like, yeah, that pretty much is the nub of it. But too few people are saying that or admitting to ignorance. No one's going to do that on Twitter, are they? Right, let's get to this weekend cup action, starting with City v Newcastle. Now, the Magpies have a woeful record at the Etihad, it's fair to say. I could go much further back than this, but let's just focus on since their last win there in the League Cup. So they've lost 9 games straight to an aggregate scoreline of 31-3. They haven't scored at the Etihad for 8.5 hours. Moreover, Anthony Gordon is a doubt, and he's a big, big player for them. And Newcastle have been hemorrhaging goals all season. I'll come to each of you for this, but I'll start with you, George. We've got to be confident, haven't we?
I think so. I think when you've laid that all out, and kind of the up and down form Newcastle are in, this is a game that you would probably expect to come away with the victory on. You never know, obviously it's a cup match, anything can happen. They'll bring a big allocation as it is the cup, so there'll be a big away backing at the Etihad, which will hopefully provide for a great atmosphere. But I like to think we'll be confident, and especially as you mentioned there, Anthony Gordon being a doubt. He's probably been one of their more exciting, positive players this season. They've had an up and down season, but he's been pretty consistent. He's always a threat, especially on the break, which they may play against us, you know, sitting deep and then trying to hit us with that pace. So if he's missing, it's a big blow to them. So I would expect to go through tomorrow, but like I said, anything can happen, but I'm confident.
And I don't want to jinx anything, but he's that best kind of doubt as well, where the club aren't sure either. So you feel that even if he passes a fitness test and he plays, he doesn't know and the club doesn't know. You know, it could be a case where he breaks down after 5-10 minutes. So he's not going to be at his full, you know, capacity anyway, because he's just going to have that niggling doubt in the back of his mind, you know. Because I think it took him by surprise, his knee injury, and it was something he couldn't explain as well. It was just kind of, they haven't got to the bottom of it yet. Ben, are you the same as me, where when the draw was made, I was like, oh no, it's Newcastle. But then as the game's approaching, I'm becoming more and more confident.
Yeah, and I think obviously we'll go through the other fixtures, but I think at this point in the in the sort of proceedings is, you know, a home tie is a huge advantage. And, you know, we're obviously not a huge fan of the semi-final being at Wembley, but, you know, we're one game away from potentially that, and, you know, obviously two or three games away, including this one, from, you know, potentially lifting the cup. So I think from that point of view, as I say, a home tie is a good one. As George touched on, Newcastle have had a bit of an indifferent season. And yeah, that aggregate scoreline, I'm sure Sergio scored about 25 of those 31, didn't he? I think he had a great record against Newcastle. But yeah, I think it will be all of these games, and, you know, it's another factor. You know, obviously all of the fans have that increased allocation, so the Newcastle fans will have the sort of top two tiers of the south stand, which I'm not a huge fan of from the atmosphere point of view. I think I'm right in saying, George, aren't I? You're level one, aren't you, south stand as well?
Well, I'm kind of like the corner of the Colin Bell and the south stand, yeah, but level one.
Yeah, so it's a bit tricky when that happens in the past. It almost seems that as soon as the south stand get a song going, the two tiers above is sort of shut down straight away. So so that'll have a factor tomorrow. But hopefully, you know, if we're on it, we can sort of nullify them, although I'm sure we'll still see a few shirts off and a few Geordie bellies bouncing up and down. But hopefully make for a good cup tie.
Was it 5 goals Sergio scored in one game against Newcastle? And then he was subbed, wasn't he, after about an hour by Pellegrini? It's like, oh, let him get a double hat-trick, for God's sake. But yeah, lineup prediction is quite tricky, this one, because there's only a couple of players out, thankfully. Ederson's out, Grealish is out, KDB... similar actually to Anthony Gordon, very much unknown until Pep's press conference later today. It doesn't really confirm that he's injured when he pulls out of the international squad, because maybe it's a case of him just being cautious. I would put it as a coin flip at this point, but it's the FA Cup as well, and so you'd expect Pep to go strong. You maybe even expect Pep to go full strength, but with it being the FA Cup, you just don't know. There might be, let's say, an Oscar Bob starting. Again, I'll come to each of you, but I'll start with you, George. How are you anticipating it to look like, the lineup?
I think it'll be pretty strong, because we do have the international break straight afterwards. So yeah. if we had a game the following midweek or even the next weekend, maybe Pep would do a slight few more rotations. But I think the fact that a few of them will be going away for international duty, mainly friendlies, I think he'll go pretty strong. I can't see Kev playing if he's pulled out of the international squad. I don't think he'd like make himself available for selection for City if he's announced he's not going to go to Belgium this week. He may obviously won't play for Belgium. He may play the following week against Arsenal. And seem fine, but I can't see him playing this weekend. If he has pulled out the international squad, I think the front three probably will be Haaland, Doku, and Foden. There's a potential for Oscar Bob as well, maybe instead of Doku, but not too sure. Then I think it will be Rodri, Kovacic, Bernardo, and then probably I think he'll bring Diaz back into the fold for this match maybe. And maybe we could see Gvardiol instead of Ake, just to give Ake a bit of a rest, because he has played every game recently. And then Ortega in net, which Ortega will be in net for the next few matches, I think. So yeah, that's kind of, I think it'll be pretty strong from my perspective, because I think, you know, Pep will, he wants to win this cup and this competition and as many trophies as possible.
It's just occurred to me we've got quite fortunate with the timing of Edson's injury, because you'd expect Ortega to start regardless. He normally does in the FA Cup games, doesn't he? And then we've got the international break as well. So in terms of timing, at least, you know, it could have been far worse. Ben, anything you disagree with there? Any kind of players you're expecting to maybe feature?
No, sorry to sound boring, but I agree with it, got written down what George said. I think Kev won't be anywhere near it. I think he hopefully gets a nice 2-week rest now, leading up to the Arsenal game. And I think Doku, obviously he's been a little bit, you know, indifferent in his form recently, but I thought in terms of, you know, when he came on against Liverpool, We're always going to have that thing where, you know, he's more likely to cough up the ball, but I think he still made, you know, two or three decent chances in the 25 minutes he was on. So for me, he does enough to be in. And yeah, as I say, the same lineup: Bernardo and Kovacic in the middle with Rodri. And then, yeah, toss of a coin with Ake. Guardiola obviously hasn't started recently, so yeah, so maybe he gets a shout. But Pep does go really strong in these FA Cup matches, including, you know, all the ties this season. So I think it's going to be our strongest lineup he can put out, certainly.
Until we get to the semi-final and then he puts out the reserves. But yeah, the only slight disagreement I've got with the two of you is I think De Bruyne could be on the bench. I don't think that would be a slight against Belgium if he was on the bench. You know, I don't think he'd be insulting them if he did so, and maybe it's a possibility of a cameo, similar to what we saw at St James's Park earlier this season. I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was on the bench, but let's wait and see. Talking of wait and see, how do you think this one will play out, George? You mentioned before about playing deep and kind of looking to hitters on the break. I think they'll be slightly more adventurous. I think it'll be a mid-block, and they'll look to get numbers forward when possible. Obviously, this is not going to be all-out attack, but I don't think this is going to be one where it's going to be, you know, a training ground exercise of attack v defence. Is that what you're anticipating?
I think maybe they will get more adventurous as the game goes on. I think what they'll try to do is keep themselves in the game as long as possible. So I think it'll be very, very frustrating, maybe up to half time. Maybe not as deep block as we see against some teams, because, you know, they do have a bit more about themselves than kind of a relegation battling side, Newcastle. But I think they'll try and frustrate us, just be physical, not concede any goals in the opening half. They'll press very hard, I think. And then as the game goes on, I think they'll probably hope that we tire, and then they can start being more adventurous going forward. But as we discussed earlier, losing Anthony Gordon is such a blow for them, because, you know, Isak's brilliant, but if he doesn't have, you know, that quality support either side, I mean, Almiron had a great season last year, but I think we can all agree that was just merely a purple patch. He's a solid squad player, but I'm not sure he's a real top quality winger. And similarly, I respect Jacob Murphy a lot, but he shouldn't really be a threat if he comes in to replace Gordon. He shouldn't be threatening the likes of Walker or whoever's at right back. We should shut up shop. So I just think, as long as we can keep the game in our control and not have it silly transitions constantly end-to-end, kind of, I think we'll do the job on them. I think we'll just hopefully overwhelm them with our passing. And I hope Phil Foden's had a good game against him a couple of times recently. I think he'll hopefully unlock something for us and get us those goals that we need.
Harvey Barnes is out as well, which, you know, he would probably play the Gordon role, as you say, so it will fall on Murphy. I put in the agenda, Ben, of any Newcastle players you'd happily have at City, but on reflection, there'd be about seven or eight, because, you know, why not? You know, we've got a small squad. You know, they've got plenty of really good players. But which players at Newcastle would you happily pay kind of market value for?
I think there's probably a couple that stick out to me. One, because we've mentioned his name already, is Gordon. And I must admit, he's probably sort of proved me wrong a little bit, as I thought.
Same, yeah.
Particularly his second season at Everton, when I guess the pressure ramped up a little bit on him to perform, and then there was rumours of him leaving. He was poor, to be honest. And I sort of thought at the time, you know, it was a little bit of a risk for Newcastle. It seemed a lot of money. But every time I see him play, he's, you know, he makes an impact. He's really, really direct. He's one of these wingers which might sound a strange thing to say, but he runs at the goal. He doesn't run. He's almost not interested in getting out wide sometimes. He always seems to have an impact on the game, and, you know, always getting, you know, he's got pretty decent numbers, whether it's goals or assists. So I would certainly take him. And then the other one, probably a little bit more obvious, is Bruno Guimaraes. I just think whenever I watch him play, he's really sort of neat and tidy. I think he'd fit in at City, although I probably think now that with the likes of Kovacic and Nunes, we've probably, you know, in a place where we wouldn't bring in another centre mid. But I just think, as I say, he's neat and tidy, he's creative, he's also a little bit gnarly, which I quite like in a centre mid. But yeah, those two for me stick out as having probably enough quality to be like a top four Champions League team. There's a few others in there which, as George said about Almiron, a few others which would be, you know, essentially squad players. But those two really stand out.
Thanks for listening to the first 15 minutes of the show. To listen to the full podcast and all our content, including reviews, previews, analysis, quizzes and much more, go to 9320.com to sign up now, or simply click the link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Go to 9320.com now for the best, most passionate, impartial coverage of Manchester City and beyond.